Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Capital Infratrust results call for the quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2025. Capital Infratrust will be represented by Mr. Hari Krishna, Joint CEO, Mr. Amit Kumar, CFO. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Parikshit Kandpal from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kandpal.
Thank you, Anju. Without taking further time, I'd like to hand the call to Hari for his opening remarks. Over to you, Hari.
No, thanks. Thanks, Parikshit. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm delighted to share that we have made strong progress during the quarter with reduced leverage, our balance sheet is healthier, and we are on track to have three operational ROFOs within the next 2 months. These steps position us for significant AUM growth as per our guidance during the IPO and reinforce our commitment to long-term value creation. I'd like to take you through the highlights of the quarter and brief key strategic initiatives that are underway currently. First and foremost, we are focused on strengthening the balance sheet. We have successfully completed a preferential issue of 345 crore, meaningfully improving our financial position. This infusion has reduced net debt from 55% in June to 45.6% as of November 14, restoring regulatory headroom and lowering financial costs. In total, we plan to repay rupees 420 crore of existing borrowings by December, underscoring our commitment to disciplined capital management and a robust balance sheet. Our financial fundamentals remain strong, supported by AAA stable ratings from Fitch and CARE, with healthy annuity inflows, stable operating expenses, and competitive borrowing costs. Going forward, we intend to opt for repo-linked borrowing rather than fixed-cost debenture, creating a natural hedge and further strengthening our debt profile. We will maintain a conservative approach in our future borrowing, with a clear focus on keeping the leverage in the range of 45%-47% in the short term. Coming to second priority is the portfolio expansion to value-accretive acquisition. Our growth plan for FY26 is progressing well. We are leveraging our local rights to acquire key operational hamlets, namely Jodhpur Ring Road in Rajasthan, Hasanpur Bakhtiarpur in Bihar, and Champa Kurla in Chhattisgarh. These assets have a residual concession period of over 13 years, providing long-term revenue visibility and a predictable annuity inflow, making them highly accretive for unit holders. Collectively, these acquisitions will add 164 kilometers of operational highway, broaden our geographic presence, and increase our AUM by over 60% from rupees 482 crores to approximately rupees 5800 crores by FY26. Furthermore, the asset acquisitions are being done at a 9% discount to the enterprise value of 2,590 crore, ensuring value accretion for investors. Thirdly, we remain committed to delivering consistent DPU distributions to our unit holders. Since inception, we have declared a cumulative DPU of rupees 30.8 per unit, reflecting our focus on unit holders' return. In the second quarter, our board has approved distribution of rupees 3.25 per unit, totaling rupees 103.6 crore. Going forward, our priority is to ensure a sustainable and predictable distribution pattern. The planned addition of high-quality assets will further strengthen cash flows and support this objective. Coming to the performance and industry highlights, the second quarter was marked by operational stability across all the 9 HAM assets that we have, with consistent siding quality and maintenance standards. Our annuity receipts stood at rupees 523 crore, which was in line with our estimates. We maintained consistent distribution aligned with our H1 FY26 guidance, the assets under management currently stands at rupees 4,282 crore. The broader industry dynamic also remains favorable. The road sector continues to see strong momentum, with HAM continuing as a preferred model for project awards. Government initiatives and sustained budgetary allocation for the road sector further strengthens the long-term outlook for the sector and creates a solid pipeline of opportunities for InvITs like ours. Looking ahead, our strategy remains firmly focused on building a diversified portfolio of HAM assets, which are backed by predictable inflation-linked annuity inflows. And in turn, we will continue to operate these assets in an efficient manner and maintain an optimum leverage. Our clear roadmap targets an AUM of at least rupees 10,000 crore by FY27 through a pipeline of 17 ROFO assets from sponsors and acquisition of third-party assets, thereby ensuring growth and consistent distribution. I will hand over to Amit for updates on financial performance.
Thank you, Harit. Good afternoon, everyone. I will take you through the key financial updates of the trust. On a consolidated basis, our total income works out to rupees 393 crore, with a net profit of rupees 5 crore as compared to total income of 159 crore and loss of 37 crore in the last quarter. Since the trust got listed in the month of January 25 only, comparatives for H1 FY25 are not available. While there was a net profit of 78 crore in Q2, but it got offset to an extent of 73 crore by net loss booked in Q1, which was mainly due to modification loss on financial assets booked due to change in the bank rate by RBI to the tune of 75 basis points since the starting of this current year. Talking about the profit and loss on standalone basis, the trust recorded a total income of 401 crore, consisting of dividend from subsidiaries of rupees 194 crore, interest income on loans extended by trust to SPVs of rupees 205 crore, and other treasury income of rupees 1 crore. EBITDA for the H1 works out to 297 crore. During the current half year, an impairment in the value of investment is booked, amounting to 311 crore. The main contingent for the same was interim distribution of 307 crore to the unit holders in June 25, change in bank rate, and approval pending for GST change in law from NHAI. For the period under consideration, the total distribution per unit for the H1 works out to rupees 6.86 per unit, out of which 3.61 per unit was already paid for Q1, and remaining 3.25 per unit is proposed to be paid now in the form of interest of rupees 2.52 per unit, taxable dividend of rupees 0.71 per unit, and other income of 0.02 per unit. Since distribution from the SPV to trust are tax-free in the hands of the trust, the tax outflow on standalone basis is only on the other income earned by the trust. In summary, Capital Infra Trust is entering into a new phase of growth driven by balance sheet deleveraging, value accretive acquisition, and disciplined capital allocations, all aimed at delivering sustainable long-term value for our stakeholders. Thank you for your attention. All other information is available in our presentation. We can now open the floor for any questions you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pravesh Kumawat from Kumawat Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. The first question is that with the current average cost of debt that we have is around 7.7 or thereabouts. And wanted to ask, what is your planned approach to raising the future debt, and how do you intend to optimize the consolidated borrowing cost of borrowing over time?
Yeah. So as of now, our current borrowing, the average cost is around 7.68%. As I mentioned earlier, we are pretty much working towards the acquisition of the Three Roads Towers. For that, we would be taking additional debt as well, for which we are in discussions with banks right now, and we anticipate getting a cost of around 7.1%-7.2% for the additional borrowing. So that's what it stands. And even in the existing borrowing, we have one series which is due for renewal March next. That's what we will also work on to refi in the similar range of around 7.1%-7.2%.
Okay. And just connected to this, just wanted to ask that if you can outline the debt strategy going forward, I mean, what will be your debt-to-AUM ratio if we continue to raise the debt, and how do we plan to keep this leverage around the 45% mark?
Yeah. See, our InvIT IPO happened in January, and until we are making fixed distribution, our leverage needs to be within 49% mark. So in the medium term, our strategy would be to keep our leverage between 45%-47%. And once we have made fixed distribution, then we will revisit this strategy and may look at increasing our overall leverage to AUM in the range of 55%-60%. But till that time, we will continue to maintain it in the range of 45%-47% mark.
Okay. And just the last bit, that NCDs will be our primary route going forward as well as we expand our AUM?
100% of our debt as of today is in the form of NCDs. The additional borrowing which we are going to take, we would try to bring it in the form of term loans which are linked to repo rate so that there is a natural hedge between the inflows which we receive and our interest expenditure. So that's our strategy going forward.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Sure. Thanks. So if I have more questions, I'll come back to you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rohan Shah with AJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So sir, just wanted to understand, as our NDCF, net distributable cash flow for Q2, was INR 104 crore, so could you share how NDCF is expected to evolve after integration of Three ROFO assets?
See, with the addition of the Three ROFO assets, our NDCF is going to improve only because these three are, again, the operational assets. For two of them, we have already received three annuities, and the third one, we will be receiving one. If I were to answer it from other parameters, then for instance, with regards to the enterprise value, they are coming at 9% discount to the fair market value. So therefore, they are going to be accretive. At this stage, because we are still working on the acquisition, and therefore, we are still working on the fundraise, therefore, to anticipate the number of units to be allocated for this acquisition, that's something still open at this stage. Therefore, it would be difficult to comment on the precise NDCF addition which will happen from the Series C, but overall, they will remain accretive.
Understood. That's helpful, sir. So one more question. Can you provide the current split between fixed versus floating debt and the targeted mix over the next 12 months?
So as of now, we have two series of debentures. One for the first series, the rate of interest is fixed for 3 years since we took it, which is up to March 28. For the other series, the cost of debt is fixed
till March 2026.
Okay, sir. That's from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Adwit Kumar with AV Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, I have a few questions to ask. So I wanted to understand what is the expected timeline for completing the acquisition of three assets in FY26, and what is your estimate of increase in NAV once these assets are consolidated?
As of now, we are working on leaving both equity and debt capital to finance the acquisition, and this we intend to close out over the next 60 to 90 days from today. We received the unit holders approval in end October, and thereafter we have been working in this regard. With regards to the NAV per se, our current NAV as of today is around 67.48. With preferential allotment, this will marginally increase further to the range of around 69. Again, with regards to the NAV impact of the three assets, we can give an exact number only when the number of units and the unit price of equity fundraise is being established, which we are yet to do right now. So therefore, at this stage, the estimate would be that it would be somewhere in the range of 73 to 75 rupees once the equity raise and debt raise has happened and the assets have been involved.
Right, right. I understand, sir. But then, sir, one more thing. On these three, right of first offer, so assets that are being acquired, what is the expected equity IRR also? So how does it compare with the current portfolio we have, current portfolio IRR?
Yeah. So for these three assets which they are coming in right now, because they are at 9% discount to the enterprise value, therefore the corresponding standalone IRR of these three ROFO assets is quite high. It's in the range of above 14% range per se on a standalone basis for these three assets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood, sir. Understood. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sir. I understood this. Sir, last question from my end. Sir, going forward, what is your long-term approach or the guidance for DPU? If you could share some outlook for the next year and maybe, let's say, a couple of years or at least next year.
No, sure. See, so far, this financial year, we are pretty much in line with the guidance which we have provided in the beginning of the year. Going forward, our projects can easily sustain a cash yield of somewhere between 10 to 12%. In that range, and that's what we can provide right now. The exact guidance we can give only at the beginning of the year, which we'll be doing again in the beginning of the next financial year. As of now, what we can convey is that our strategy would be that at least we are distributing cashes of 10 to 12%.
Understood. All right, sir. I think those were my questions. Thank you so much for answering them in detail. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Aisha Shah with Value Birth Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you have mentioned rupees 420 crore debt repayment planned by December. Poses reduction, how do you see the leverage ratio shaping up by FY26 end?
We plan to prepay our debentures by around 420 crore, of which 345 crore is from the preferential allotment, an additional 75 crore from our internal accrual. And the as of 14th November, the debt ratio and the leverage which is there, which is around 45.6%, is including this cash element as well and is including this aspect. So therefore, from here on, pretty much we should remain in the range of 45 to 47% mark with regards to the debt charge, leverage to EV ratio.
Thank you. So that's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Anant Mundra with My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand the current NAV calculation is based on what borrowing cost? Like what is the borrowing cost that has been assumed by the valuer?
So that's based on the current borrowing cost, which has been assumed by the borrower, by the valuer, which is 7.68%.
Okay, but there is a reset clause, right? So this rate should go down in future. That understanding is correct, right?
Yes, that's correct. And that's what we are also working towards. So the way we will be managing that, the additional borrowing which we are going to take immediately to finance the acquisition of 3SF, that's going to reduce the overall cost. And partially, one of the series of NCDs, which is for which put call option is available in March next year, for that we will try to refinance them so that we have an efficient debt profile and competitive cost.
Okay. So that upside is not being captured in the current NAV calculations because that could potentially come in future. So March 26 is the first NCD reset clause, right?
Yes. You are correct. The valuations are based on the current cost of debt, which is at 7.16%. So this will happen once we have completed the exercise.
Got it. And the prepayment you're doing for the NCD, I think about 420 crores. So is there any prepayment penalty also that we have to pay on this?
No, not for this. We don't. This is permitted, and we will not be paying any prepayment penalty for paying this now.
Okay. And so by when do we plan to complete the three acquisitions? Is there a timeline that we have?
So we are pretty much working on it. Our endeavor would be to complete it over the next 60 to 90 days. That's our target right now.
Okay. And how are we trying to fund the equity portion? Will it be a unit swap or will we be doing another pref?
In total, we are budgeting around, say, ballpark, we will be requiring around 2,400 crores to complete the acquisition. Of which, at this stage, our planning is to raise funds, equity funds, of around 1,250 crores, either through QIP or mix of the preferential allotment, and around rupees 1,150 crores as debt. That's our overall target right now.
Got it. And so just one final question, what is the investment manager project and the project manager's fee that is paid from the trust? And is there also any kind of, incentive fee that the manager is entitled for on acquisition?
No, not really. The investment management and the project management fee pretty much remains the same which was disclosed at the time of IPO. For every, our investment management fee is 1.1% of the revenue which we, our SPVs collect. And project management fee is a fixed amount, which is payable for the entire operations and maintenance of all the assets, which was again agreed at the time of beginning of the project itself and at the time of IPO itself. So there is no variation in that altogether.
Incentive fee?
We don't have any incentive fee over here. It's a mix of only investment management fee which comes to investment manager and project management fee which is payable to CPS as part of project management fee.
Got it. And sir, any any update or any color that you can give on how are we thinking to acquire any non-sponsor assets?
Yeah. So if I were to update you on our expansion plan, first starting with the sponsor assets itself, there were a ROFO of about 17 assets, of which three we are acquiring right now. 14 would be ready to acquire over the next  1 to 3 years.  4 to 5 assets would be ready in the next financial year as well, which essentially means that CDF around 3,000-4,000 crores can be added with the sponsor assets themselves. In addition, we are targeting to acquire third-party assets as well, which we are working on. And next financial year, we target to at least have at least 1 to 3 assets in that regard. With regards to strategy, we will continue to focus right now on HAM-based assets. We would not like to diversify in toll at this stage. Our immediate strategy would be to just focus on HAM assets from third-party developers.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rohan Shah with AJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my follow-up question, sir. So I just wanted to understand, so can you provide an explanation about the InvIT strategy going forward, like 5 years kind of vision?
Yeah, I think if I were to talk about a 5-year vision per se, see, our strategy would be to continue to focus on and keep on adding HAM-based road projects because that's what our expertise is and that's what we started with. So over the next 5 years, our strategy would be essentially to not only focus on the assets which are for which we have ROFO from sponsors, but third-party acquisitions as well, so that in 5 years' time, we are building a decent portfolio which is diversified and which provides a stable annuity cash flow and which can be distributed and thereby generating a stable dividend income for the unitholder. Broadly, that's what I can summarize at this stage. The key elements would be focus on the HAM-based road sector as of now, target sponsor-based ROFO assets, and third-party assets altogether.
Understood, sir. That's helpful. So one more on the industry base. So how is the industry scenario? Are you seeing more projects opportunities going forward?
Well, see, we all are aware that in the last 12 months, the number of projects being awarded by NHAI have been relatively less compared to the previous cycles. However, we understand that the allocation overall is going to remain the same, and the activity is going to pick up in the second half of the financial year. So therefore, from an industry perspective, we remain optimistic that there will be enough opportunities for players like us to acquire assets from, even in the short term and in the medium term, both of them, because these are integral parts of growth for the country, for the nation, and the overall allocation of the government in this sector remains at the healthy level, though it may be slightly less than 2 years before, but it overall remains at the healthy level.
Understood, sir. That's from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Anjali Singh with Bansal Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, the ROFO valuation summary shows a combined EV of around INR 2590 crores. So what is expected initial yield contribution to Ind AS post acquisition?
Yes. See, the enterprise value is 2590. Now it's very difficult to comment upon that what would be the yield in the first year of the project per se. That's something once we have acquired and we have precast the balance sheet, we'll be able to convey to you. But overall, in terms, because these are being attractively priced because of the discount, inherent discount over there, they are going to be accretive to the existing investors per se, and they are going to enhance the IRR and helping to sustain the DPU.
Okay. So one more question. So over the next 24 months, how many additional ROFO assets do you expect to add beyond the three targeted this year?
Yeah. See, and around 4 to 5 ROFO assets again would be ready for acquisition by between by June to July next year. So that's at that point of time. And additional 2 to 3 will be ready towards the end of FY27. That's what we understand right now. This is based on the progress of the on the proper set as we speak right now.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Management, please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. Capital Intertrust is, as we already see that we are entering into a new phase of growth, which will be driven by balance sheet deleveraging, value accretive acquisitions, and disciplined capital allocation. All is aimed at delivering sustainable and long-term value to our stakeholders. Thank you once again for joining the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Capital Infra Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.